Tonight, our learning is sponsored by the Aronoff and East families in memory of their father, David Ben Zisha, Zichor Lebrecha, by Benji and Ari Gantrow in memory of Ari's grandfather, Har Moshe Zalman Ben Menachem Mendel Yitzchak, Zichor Lebrecha, by David Savetsky and Savetsky family in memory of their wife and mother, Frida Dubra Bas Yachmiel, Zichor Lebrecha, by David Weinstein in memory of David's grandfather, Zanbel Dov and Alexander, Zichor Lebrecha, and by Gila and David Zelig in memory of Gila's mother, Freda Bas Noach, the Garonia, Zichron Lebracha, all the Shama should have an Aliyah. Shem Shem Aliyah. Okay, Chaver, we continue our studies of Eidach HaNem and Beisurin. And last week, we started with our first machlokas between the Ksos and the Nesivos. Bezos Hashem should be the first of many. But the first debate between the Ksos and the Nesivos that we have seen, that we have looked at together, pertains to a detail on Eidach HaNem and Beisurin. We didn't really see the Ksos inside. We saw him quoted in the Nesivos. We really started with source number 5. So let's just revisit that. We will recap our analysis from last week, and then we will see the expressions of that analysis over the course of this evening. So in source number 5, the Nesivos was commenting on a scenario that is Isurim, but for whatever reason, you need two witnesses. We've noted that even in the realm of Isurim, where we generally have a principle, there might be individual circumstances where you require two witnesses. For example, what would be the scenario? Two words that we saw in Tosfos already, or in the Gemara already. Cases of Ischazek Isura, right? Ischazek Isura. In those cases, we said you need two witnesses. And the question became, in those cases, do you need, or even in the circumstances where you have two witnesses, do they follow the general rules of Eidos Tarakula? Or are there still going to be substantive differences between the Eidos that we find, let's say, in Dine Momonos, where you need two witnesses, or Dine, what you find by Eidach HaNem Levisur? And we saw that that was a machlokas, as recorded in source number 5. Take a look at source number 5. And Sivas said in Simlam Ches as follows. Look at the Ksos. The Ksos wrote, so someone comes along, or two witnesses come along, and they say, Reuven's barrel of wine, it's Yain Nasach. We saw a non-Jew come over, they took the wine, they poured a libation to their pagan deity from that wine, it's Yain Nasach. And one more word, Behuzbun. And then a second set of Edom say, what in the world are you talking about? When you were claiming to have witnessed that wine libation, you were actually with us learning in the base Medrash. I don't know what exactly you're talking about. So what happens in that scenario? The Ksos says the rules of Hazama, of Edom Zomimin, again, which we're familiar with from the beginning of Sechas Makos, that we do to them, Kasha Zamam, we do to them what they were planning to do to somebody else. It applies in cases of Isurim as well. Quite evidently, if you're testing about somebody's wine, that is Yain Nesa, that is Isurim. And the Ksos says Hazama applies to the realm of Nisur. Second line, Behavi Rayam, Yisanhedrin, Daf Yoram and Aleph. He brings a raya from a Gemara Sanhedrin. That's actually quite a fundamental Gemara for a number of important sugyas. Pagina Dibura, Eino the Mesa Matzma Rasha, Nogei Abedavar. But it's not a Gemara that we're going to get into right now. Fine. He brought whatever proof that he brought. Then the Gemara, then the Nesiva says as follows in the poll. To me, I don't think the cases are similar. To lo shaya kasher zamam, when do we have this rule of Edom Zomamin? Where do we have this rule of Kasher Zomam? Only in instances where the testimony had to be delivered in Beistin. Kagon Harigashor, like one who is testifying about an ox that killed someone. That is Dine Nefashos or Dine Mamonos, depending on what exactly the shore killed, right? But in any event, whatever it is, whether you're trying to administer capital punishment or corporal punishment, whatever, or you're trying to just extract money, those are scenarios where you actually have to testify in Beistin. Aval b'isurin, however, when it comes to this keg of wine that he's asserting, this barrel of wine that he's asserting is Yain Nesach, afilu b'makom, beginning of the fourth line, ditzarech shnei edim, even in a case where you require two witnesses, mikol makom lo tzarech hagadah b'beistin. Nonetheless, do not require them to come to Beistin. As I wrote earlier in Simon Chavches, we can see that line in just a moment. Second to the bottom line, as the Chavos Das wrote in Simon Tzadiches, Ayin Sham, in any case where they don't have to come to Beistin, there is no Chiddush of Edom Zomim. Okay, so again, we're not going to get into the nuances of the Degarmi right now, but he says Kasher Zomam should not apply because they don't have to come into Beis Din. Now, we noted last week, the Ketzos can argue on the Nesivos in one of two ways. Just to recap what we did, right? He said the Nesivos' argument rests on two premises. Premise number one, that in the realm of Isurin, they don't have to come into Beis Din. Premise number two, if they don't have to come into Beis Din, then there is no Hazama, then there's no Edim Zomim, right? The second premise was not the Nesivos' own premise, it was the premise of the Chavos Das, he quotes the Chavos Das as saying that, but we noted that in theory, the Ketzos could reject either one of them. Maybe the Ketzos would just working backwards. Maybe the Ketzos would reject premise number two and maintain that there could be Edom Zomamin even on scenarios where they don't have to come into Beis Din. And as we said, were we learning the first parak of Maseches Makos, maybe one day we will, then that would actually be a quite significant shita for us because it would shed light on the nature of Edom Zomamin, Hazama. Is it a Beis Din process? Is it a Sheker phenomenon? What exactly is Hazama about? But leaving that aside, because that's not our sugya right now, the first premise that he asserts is that when it comes to Isurin, they don't need to come to Beis Din. Would the Ketzos necessarily agree with that? Not necessarily at all. The Ketzos might require them to come into Beis Din in instances where the two Edim are necessary. Now, why would that be significant? Because it perhaps touches on a much broader Chakira that we suggested last week pertaining to this whole idea of Eid Echa Ne'eman B'Yisurim. What is Eid Echa Ne'eman B'Yisurim? What does it mean? Or to put it in other words, in that phrase, Eid Echa Ne'eman B'Yisurim, should the emphasis be on the word Eid, or should the emphasis be on the word Ne'eman, right? What exactly are we dealing with here? Are we saying that there's a concept called Eidos, testimony, and in different realms of Halacha, it operates differently. In cases of Mamonos, you require two witnesses. In cases of Isurin, you only require one witness. But this is still within the realm of what we call Eidos. Conceptually speaking, we're still dealing with the category of testimony, witnesses. Whatever the operative categories are, they might work a little bit differently in the context of Isurin, but we're still working within the realm of Eidos. Or would we say, no, this guy is not really an aid at all. It's a misnomer. How do I know that? Because real Eidos requires two witnesses. And if you don't have two witnesses, you're not really dealing with Eidos. So what is this? This is a form of what we call Ne'emanus. As we said, there are certain areas where we will believe someone, even if they don't rise to that formal standard of an aid, a witness, in a Beis Din, in a court of law. The example that I gave, I think last week, was the sugya at the very end of Maseches Kiddushin that says that a midwife is believed to testify which of two twins were born first. Which one was the before? Now you'll tell me what you mean. That's a mamonist question, right? It's a matter of nachala. It's a matter of who's going to inherit a double portion. So how does the midwife believe? You need two witnesses in order to assert that one child is older than the other. And the answer is, there's a certain nemonis. Again, what the mechanics are of that nemonis is a fair question to raise. But for whatever reason, when she is there, she's present, she sees what's going on. She's the one who's sitting by the birthing stone. She knows which child came out first, and therefore she has ne'emanus. The halacha grants her ne'emanus to assert which child is the oldest child. That's not edus. Nobody would claim that she's a witness, a halachic witness, but we believe her. We grant her that believability, or we believe her word nonetheless. What are we dealing with by Eid Echa Ne'eman B'Yisurim? Now, one of the nafkaminas might be, what about other rules of Eidos? So we all agree that we've gotten rid of the rule that requires two. What about the fact that they have to show up in Beis Din? Would we require that or would we not? The Nesiva says, no, we don't. The Ketzos might say, yes, we do. And that might be a function of this broader question of how we conceive of this principle of Eid Echa Ne'eman B'Yisurim. David, yeah.
What does it mean to be in Beis Din?
To be in Beis Din? I mean, are you asking me like what the building looks like or?
No.
In the presence of Dayanim, in the presence of a Beis Din.
So when we say it doesn't have to go to Beis Din, we mean there are no, you don't need three Dayanim?
Presumably, right, yeah. No?
I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
It's like a dumb question, but
it's a fair question. Yeah. Presumably it means that they can make this statement outside of Beis Din and it has the full force of testimony.
I'm saying that it's not the building that's important.
That's the presence of the three Dayanim, of course.
So they can make it without three Dayanim,
yes,
and two people can decide.
To be mazim them, apparently. Again, according to the Ketzos, then
one per a chacham can decide.
To be clear, no, to take a step back. For Hazama to happen, based on Hazama issue of Psach. Right.
The
Azama is happening in Bes. And the question is, do they need to be in Bes in the first place? That's the machlok between the Ksos and the Nesivis. Right? And the Nesivis is maintaining is that they do need to be in Bezdin. By in Bezdin, I mean Bifne Gimel Dayanim, right? In front of a Bezdin. And according to the Ksos, they don't.
Is it possible that an Eid Echad could ultimately lead to Makos, not capital punishment, but Makos?
Okay. So an Eid Echad cannot lead to Makos. But if you just tweak your question slightly, you have a very fundamental question.
Eid Echad says this piece of meat is Nevela.
Okay.
Individual.
Okay, good. So that can, that's not what I thought you had in mind. That can happen, and we're going to discuss that in source number 4. We're going to get to that in a moment. You know what? Because Steve brought it up, let's just see the Nesivas in source number 4. This is the Nesivas that he himself references earlier when he says they don't have to come into Beis Din. And he's dealing with precisely your case. Steve says the following. Let's say there's an Eid Echad who says that this piece of meat is Nevela. It's not kosher, right? Then two witnesses see somebody eating that piece of non-kosher meat. Can you give the guy malchus or can you not? Right? What do you need to give somebody malchus? You need two edim. You have two edim on the maisa achila. But the whole idea that the maisa achila is problematic is predicated upon the testimony of an eid achad. The Siva says, nonetheless, you can give him malchus. Source number 4. When we call malchum, be'inon kan, be'kan shnayim, kim delav gilo milsa gamaru. When we call Makal Odami Davar Shabbat Erva, Kimich Ami the Mikbar Davar. The non-bolded line makes it a little more confusing. But he says when the Eidos is not on the Gemara Davar, it's good. Mahani Eidos on Chutzla based in. That's a critical line for us. The Eidos works Chutzla based in. The Dami the Eastern Makal this Chazik Eastern, the after be in on Shnayim. Here's the key line for us is really the bold. We call Makal Sadi Kishim Eidin Chutzla based in. It's enough when they testify outside of based in. When it comes to mammon, where we require two, then you need beis din. I'll be surin ap makon de beinon shnayim. We call makon mahani edos chutz le beis din. Their edos works outside of beis din. No, that's not the line that I was looking for. The line I was looking for, I'm sorry, is in source number 6. That's the line where the Nesivas reasserts his idea that they don't need to be in beis din. Source number 6 is an Amnei Miluim. We're not going to read the end of the Amnei Miluim just yet because the end of the Amnei Miluim is important. But look at what the Rambam says. And Amnei Miluim says in source number 6. By the way, who is the author of the Amnei Miluim? Was Rav Aryeh Leib Heller, the same author as the Ksos. So that's going to be important for us in a moment because he seems to contradict our analysis that we just offered a second ago. But source number 6. V'ikol amedok v'imash kasev perek tazayin milchus Sanhedrin ein sarach shnei edim elo bish'as maisa. The Rambam says in milchus Sanhedrin that when do you need the two witnesses? Bish'as Maisa, at the moment that he's doing the Isser. Avala Isor Atzmo, but the fact that it itself is Asur, second line of source number 6, Be'ed Echad Yuchsa. That can be established by a single Eid Echad. Ketzad, let me just fill it. Ketzad, how do we see this? Amar Eid Echad, Chelev Kalayos Uzeh, Kilaya Kerem HaPeros Elu, Gerusha Ozona Isha Zo. He testifies that the piece of meat is not kosher, the grapes are not kosher, that this woman is prohibited to the Kohen, but ochal o ba'al be'edim, and then he proceeds to do the Isser with two witnesses, third line, achar shehisrabo, after they warned him, ha'reze loka, he receives malchus, alf al pi she'ikar ha'isser ve'ed echad ad kan l'shono, right? So even though the original Isser was only established through a single witness. It's a remarkable idea, right? So once his testimony is recognized, and we accept it, then you could even have malchus that results from it, even though if it were a single witness testifying on the actual maisa achila, that would not be sufficient for malchus.
Could this Eid Echad get malchus? Let's say to Adam, say, how can you say that you said that this was Nevela at this time you were with us? So what would be the implication of that?
That's machlokas between the Ksos and the Nesivas, right? That's the machlokas that we started with, right? That's the analysis. Is it Hazama or is there not? So the Ksos would say there is Hazama, and the Nesivas would say there's no Hazama, right? I thought you were going to say something else. So you said, can an aid ever create malchus? So here he does so indirectly, right? I said there are two instances where you need shnayim aidim. One was malchus, or what we call nefashos, right? What's the other case where we need shnayim aidim? Mamnus. Can an aid echad ever be mechayev mamnus? This gets into central principles in Nezikin. An aid echad testifies that you owe somebody money. What do you have to do? Erechel is mechayiv shvua. How exactly, and if you don't take a shvua, mechayiv mamon, right? How exactly do we perceive that? Is that a real chiyuv mamon? Or is it a chiyuv shvua? Or is it, so I don't want to give away too much, but hopefully that's something that we will circle back to. Okay, very fundamental discussion of the Rishonim at the beginning of Maseches Bava Metzia. Very fundamental Rimigash. Hopefully we'll look into that a little bit, okay? And that might impact our perception of whether an aid is an aid echad, in other words, is really an aid or not. In other words, if there are other areas where he could do something effective also, that would probably lead us to almost elevate his stature to something more significant, okay? In any event, fine. So we have this machlokas, and it could hinge on our question of how much the aid is really an aid, or how much are we just dealing with ne'emanus. Now, because we jumped to this amne miluim, let's just finish what it says. There could be other nafkaminas of this question as well. Look at the end of source number 6. It's the bottom line on the first side of the page after the comma. The kivan de eidacha ne'eman lomar grusha ozona ishazo. Because an eidacha is believed to testify that this woman is prohibited to the kohen. Alma, we see, sphirele de grusha ozona havelei din isurin the eidacha ne'eman ba. We see that by his estimation, by the Rambam's estimation, labeling a woman a grusha or zona is a matter of isurin, as opposed to what? As opposed to erva, as opposed to davar sheba erva. Okay, why? So if we have time, maybe at some point we'll get into that, but not tonight. But look at what the Amnon Miluim finishes with. Bold. V'im kein v'adai duhu hadin eid mi pi eid ne'eman bo. Because that's the case, because it's the case of Isurin, aid me p aid is ne'eman. What is aid me p aid? It's a witness who heard it from another witness. We would call an American court of law, we call it word of mouth. I was going to say hearsay. Yeah. The lawyer saying word of mouth. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hearsay is the legal term. Right. Okay. So it's hearsay. So yeah, the hearsay. Hearsay. Hearsay, ordinarily speaking, is not allowed in a beis din. But here comes the Amne Miluim and says that when it comes to Isurin, Eid Mi Pi Eid is Ne'eman. Devechol Isurin to Eid Echa Ne'eman, Eid Mi Pi Eid Ne'eman. Whenever you have Eid Echa Ne'eman Isurin, Eid Mi Pi Eid works as well. Is that obvious? Is that simple? I could have said, if we're dealing with real Eidos here, then, okay, fine. The one thing I've changed is the number of Eidim I need. But everything else, all the other rules of Eidos, all the other rules of Beis Din should apply. Eid Mi Pi Eid should not work. And this could apply to all sorts of other nafkaminas that the Echonim discuss as well. When it comes to formal Eidos, we have a principle of Kivan Shehigit Shovei Nechozer Magid. What is Kivan Shehigit Shovei Nechozer Magid? That means that once somebody offers testimony, they can't retract their testimony. They can't backtrack on what they said. Unless there are individual circumstances where they give an amasla, they give a reason why they had to lie or something like that, then they can retract their testimony. Ordinarily speaking, they can't. Do we say kivan shehigit shovei nechozer magid or do we not? Now, once again, aid me p'aid, kivan shehigit shovei nechozer magid, has some. All of these could be questions pertaining to the status of our aid echad. If we say that he is an aid, and it's just an exception for isurim that we accept one as opposed to two, then all these other rules, aid me p'aid, kivan shehigit shovei nechozer magid, etc., they should all apply. If it's just ne'emanus, then why would you ever apply those rules? Those are rules of Eidos, not Ne'emanos, and therefore we'd be able to claim that he'd be able to get away with all those things. Now, of course, again, I noted that you have a little bit of tension within the Ksos. The Ksos is the one who said that on the one hand, Hazama applies. And now he's saying that Eimi P'aid does not apply, okay? So you might, this is where you get interesting test cases for all these different rules, right? For all these different rules of Beis Din. Which ones are confined to a particular realm of Beis Din, which ones are confined to Beis Din itself, which ones are true of all Eidos. So that's where it gets much more nuanced. And of course, we're not going to explore every single one of these principles. But broadly speaking, one could have conceived of each of these as a nafkamina of our basic question as to what exactly the status of our aid is. Is he a real aid, or is he someone who never qualifies for Eidos, but just has some form of ne'emanus? Okay, Moshe.
So if he's got ne'emanus and he's not going to come to Beis Din, then if you don't have aid with the aid, how does that testimony get in front of
Bezdin?
It follows in my mind that it has to be allowed if in that particular.
You're saying if it doesn't have to be in Bezdin.
Right. If the aid doesn't have, if this person
that we're going to rule, this Edechar, right, this person we're relying on, does not have to come into Beis Din. How does that testimony get into Beis Din for Beis Din to make a ruling if it's not tainted PA?
That's a good question.
I've been waiting since you. I've been waiting a half an hour to ask that question. You put
no,
it
it's,
in front of me.
It's a good question.
You defined Beis Din is not in the building. You said in front of Dayanim.
Right.
So in front of Dayanim, there is no question. So that's...
Well, doesn't matter.
Moshe's point is he.
It doesn't matter if they're sitting in the field.
Right. However, however you define Beis Din, his point is right. The Ketzos is saying, the Nesivos was saying. The Ketzos didn't say this, but the Nesivos was saying that they don't. They never need to come into Beis Din. So if they never need to come into Beis Din, how would you ever be mechayev somebody on the basis of their testimony, unless someone
says, "I heard you say this."
So then it's meaningless to say that they didn't have to be in Beis Din. The only thing you'd be able to say, Moshe, is the following. Maybe when it says they don't have to be in Beis Din, it means for their ne'amanos, you'd have to say, klape iser ishmaya. That, in other words, once they testify, it's usher for you to do it, right? Because they're believed. In terms of onesh Beis Din, they'd certainly have to come into Beis Din. That's not a great answer. The question is stronger than the answer.
Yeah.
No. I hear your point. And it could. That could just be proof that there's NVPA. It's a good point. But, again, if you had to wiggle out of it, you'd probably say something like that. But outside of Beis Din, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a good question. But you have to say something like that. That outside of Beis Din, it'd be believed as far as Isser is concerned, right? Remember, we're going to get back to this at some point, either tonight or next week. But remember, according to Tosfos, the original source of all of this was the Safrala, right? The count of Nida, right? So that's regarding Isser Labal. It's about Heter v'Isser, right? Can you eat in somebody else's house? Right, that's we're going to see that's one of the sources too, according to Rashi. So you have to say that that's regarding your conduct, whether it's considered usur or mutter. Regarding Beis Din, they have to come into Beis Din in order to testify. But I hear it's not the neatest construct. I hear what you're saying. Henry, you had a question? Okay. Tov. Okay, fine. That is Eidach Anamim. That is. Aid me Piaid, and the question of Hazama. Let's turn back to the original question at the outset. What about Psula Eidos? We have lots of people that are disqualified from offering testimony in Beis Din for a variety of reasons. Again, one day we'll also learn the third paragraph of Sanhedrin 2, Be'ezus Hashem, and we'll get to all the Psula Eidos that exist in Halach, right? So there are lots of people who are disqualified. Are they believed in the realm of Isurim, or are they not? So are women believed in the principle of Eidach Anamim and Bisurin? Yeah, one would think, right? Tosu said that they're believed on Shechita and Nichor, right? We saw that Tosu together, right? So let's take a look at the another Gemara, rather timely Gemara, from the beginning of Maseches Pesachim. Shloshim Yom Kodem Machag Shol and Darshim Behelchos Achag. I can't say that's why I planned this, but it does work quite neatly. Says the Gemara. Amar Lurav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Nachman Bar Yitzchak reported to Nitua. Everyone is believed on Bir Chametz. Everybody is believed to say that this house has been cleaned and checked and removed of Chametz. Afilu Nashim, Afilu Avadim, Afilu Ketanim. Women, Avadim, Ketanim, everyone's believed. Women, the slaves, the halachic minors, everybody's believed on this matter. The Gemara asks, Mai Taima Mehemne. This is the second line of source number one, first word. What is the reason why they are believed? And the Gemara initially makes a suggestion. Lav mishum dechaskas obadok. Is it not because there's a chazaka that every house is clean for chametz? That's the broader discussion. The Gemara Pesachim over there. Is there a chazaka that the house is checked? So it's not really that we believe them. It's more that there's a chazaka that is checked already. And when they kind of affirm that, we run with it. But the Gemara says, no, that's not really what's going on. After the ellipsis of the second line in source number one. What are we dealing with here? We have a chazaka that the house was not checked. Kids were running around with bagels all day yesterday. So we know that there's chametz in the house. And these people assert, these categories, right? Someone asserts that we checked. What might you have said? Lo lehim nuhu rabbanan. The rabbanan should not believe them. Kamash Malon comes to teach you. Kivan de bedikas chametz mitarabanan. Who? Because bedikas chametz is only mitarabanan. Why is bedikas chametz only mitarabanan? To mita oraisa bebitol baalma sagile. Because mita oraisa, that bitol that we do, is technically speaking sufficient. Again, another rich sugya for us to do at some point. Himnuhu rabanan bedarabanan. The rabanan only required. The rabbanon only were the ones who required bedikas chametz in the first place. Wasn't really required until raisa level. And because they're the ones who required it, they have the right to set the parameters about who's believed to do it, right? It's like a teammate call, right? We're the ones who made the requirement in the first place, so we're going to be the ones who decide who's believed. And because they were the ones who created the requirement, they decided that Nashim Avadim Muktanim are believed on bedikas chametz. Let me ask you all a question.
Why don't you give the answers biyadam?
Why don't you answer, or to put it in slightly different terms, Eid Echa Neman Bisurim? Give me a different answer. Why is the Gemara resorting to Himnu Rabbanan Bidrabbanan? Give me another source for their Ne'emana. So who asked your question, Mati? Tosos asked your question. Source number two. Himnu Rabbanan Bidrabbanan. Abba Gav, the Kol Davar Shehu Biyadam Mihim Ninan Lahu. Even though on all matters, we discussed Biyadam extensively, right? We discussed that 2 weeks ago. Even though it's in their hands to actually do the Bidika, it's their choice. They have it's within their sovereign power to do it. And on any matter that's biyadam, we believe them. We even believe them on a de'oraisa level because of this principle of biyadam. And Tosfos points out, the ma'isim b'chol yom, second line of verse number two. Sha'anu ma'aminim l'isha ve'evet ala shchita ve'ala nikur. Happens all the time. You come to somebody's house, you ask the Baal Basta, is the meat kosher? And she tells you yes. Every single day you're relying on this principle of biyadam, so that such that they are believed even on a de'oraisa level. Third line, a woman baked a loaf of bread, and you ask her whether or not chala was properly separated. She tells you yes. Can you believe her? The answer is yes. You're allowed to believe her. So why don't we use that as the reason for their ne'emanus? Tosfos will say, nonetheless, regarding bedikas chametz, we have an exception. Even though it's within their hands to do the bedika, second bold passage of source number two. Mikol makom, nonetheless, he have a mita oraisa. If it were mita oraisa, lo mehem ninan lu. We still wouldn't believe them, even though it's biyadam. Why? Because it's a big, big tircha. Bedikas chametz, apparently, even in the times of the Baal HaTosfos, even in the times of the Gemara, was not an easy thing to deal with. It was a major tircha. Tzarich diktok gadol. And it requires a lot of focus. So what's the natural extension? So why do we even believe the men who say it? So Tosfos add, flush into Yerushalmi, could the mukhlup Yerushalmi, shemafar, nisha nashim, atzlani of saying. Apparently back in the day, things were very radically different from the realities that we experience nowadays. And apparently back then, the men were the ones who were more strict about checking for chametz than the women. Again, we sometimes say nishtana hateva, right? When things don't always accord with our realities. So again, I think nowadays the reality is certainly reversed. Maybe we shouldn't believe the men on bedikas chametz anymore. My wife doesn't believe me on bedikas chametz. You know, it's like the old story with Rav Soloveitchik, where he took a cold piece of chicken. They say about Rav Soloveitchik, they say about every gadol. Took a cold piece of chicken, put it on a plate, a milchik plate, and started eating it. His wife said, "What are you doing? You're crazy. It's cold. They don't believe us." And he says, "What do you mean? That's you're trafing every of my dishes." So I'll show you in the Gemara, in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch. It's cold. There are no b'liyos. She responded, "You and your Shulchan Aruch are going to trafe up my kitchen." That's the old. That's how the old story goes. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing nowadays. But in any event, Tosfos say that bedikas chametz is an exception. But Tosfos hold that generally they would qualify for eid echa neman be'isurin. Clearly, right? But there's one nuance here. Do Tosfos invoke the language of Eid Echa Neman Be'isurim? They invoke the language of? The language that you originally invoked, Mati.
Yeah,
Biyadam. Is Biyadam the same as Eid Echa Neman Be'isurim, or is it not? So we saw that might be a machlok between Rashi and Tosfos, right? So when we say that they have this Ne'emanus, is it because they have Eid Echa Neman Be'isurim? Or do they have a separate Ne'emanus of Biyadam? Now, once again, if Eid Echa Ne'eman Be'isurim means a real form of Eidus, then it is likely that those who are disqualified from Eidos for whatever reason, Nashim Avadim Uktanim, all of whom are disqualified from Eidos for various reasons, so they should not be able to access Eid Echa Neman B'Isurim either. And the Ne'emanos that they do have would have to be a separate Ne'emanos of B'Yadim. Alternately, we might say, Eid Echa Neman B'Isurim is not a real form of Eidos, it is just Ne'emanos. And therefore, all the rules that you learned in Masechet Sanhedrin about who qualifies as an Eid and who doesn't, it's all irrelevant to Eid Echa Neman B'Isurim. Take a look at the Rambam in source number 3, Eidos Parakut Aleph Halacha Zayin. Eid Echa Neman B'Isurim, the Rambam does not invoke the language of B'Yado. He says straight out, what? Eid Echa Neman B'Isurim. And he says, Aval Pishahu Pasul Ishar Idios, even though he is Pasul, he's disqualified from Shar Idios, Shari Raja Ba'abera Shashachat Shita Sokshera V'Ne'eman Lomar Kalacha Shachatti. He says, even though he's Pasul Shar Idios, he's Kasher for Eid Echa Neman B'Isurim. And he brings a proof from the fact that a Rasha on Shechita is still Ne'eman to tell you that a particular Shechita is a good Shechita. He himself is a Rasha. He himself eats Basar Trefa. But he tells you that this is a good Shechita. You still believe. So the Rambam tells you that Eid Echa Neman B'Isurim applies to those who are disqualified from Eidos. Perhaps, again, lending credence to the idea that this is not a real formal Eidos at all, but rather just a form of Ne'emanos, and therefore the usual rules, the usual operative rules of Eidos do not apply in the circumstance of Eid Echa Neman B'Isurim. Aria.
Isn't this a case of Ischazek Isura, and maybe that's why Tosfos isn't bringing up Eid Echa Neman B'Isurim?
Isn't this a case of Ischazek Isura?
I mean, he uses the language here. He looks up low, that it's assumed that it's not in check, so therefore it's Ischazek Isura, until it has been checked.
Okay, maybe. There's a lot to what you're saying. It's potentially correct. Let me just reference some of the really hot button issues that you unknowingly hit on just now. Is chametz b'chezkas iser or not? Okay, so davar sheyesh matirin is a separate issue. Davar sheyesh matirin is once it's usher on Pesach. Right now, we're on Erev Pesach. It's chametz is chazek isura. Or to put it in other terms, would we say hetera bala o isura bala? That's the language that appears in Mesechta Avodah Zarah, Mesechta Tefillin. Major machlokes between Tosfos and the Ramban. The Ramban holds isura bala, and Tosfos holds hetera bala. So Tosus Lashitasam may not hold this Chazik Isura here, Ari, right? Because even though it's not Baduk, there's no Isra right now, right? So it's not really clear that we say it's Chazik Isura in this case. That's the first thing I would tell you. Two, also the examples that they give, Shechita and Nikur, are also presumably not as Chazik Isura. Now even Shechita and Nikur could be as Chazik Isura. Why? We didn't really talk about this so much. Why could Shechita be as Chazik Isura?
The animals
Well, it's not a nevela until it's shechted properly. What is it until it's shechted properly? It's alive. It's alive. And you're not allowed to eat live animals either. That's what we call Eber Menachai, right? So is it Eschazek Yisura on Eber Menachai? So that gets into interesting questions about the notion of Eschazek Yisura. It's clearly no longer Eber Menachai, right? So is Eschazek Yisura rooted in a halachic status? It was Usur and now it's still Usur? Or was it in Metzios assumptions? In other words, the Metzios was that it was Eber Menachai, but clearly the Metzios has changed now. Right, that could be about the contours of his Chazak Yisura. But in any event, Nikur 2, you could theoretically raise that question. Again, we're getting a little into the weeds here. But the examples that Tosfos give are presumably examples of not as Chazak Yisura, at least by the assumptions of Tosfos and Gittin, right? Tosfos and Gittin thought that Shechita and Nikur are not as Chazak Yisura. And Tosfos do invoke those examples. So I'm not sure. It's an interesting question to raise, but the notion that it's Chazak Yisura here may itself be contingent on a few assumptions. Okay?
We're talking about the hams, right?
Yeah, where he says, Demoksak lan de lo badak.
Demoksak lan de lo badak.
The question is there a chiyuv on me to do, to clean up?
Right.
There's no
and Ari saying there's a cheskas.
There's a cheskas Yisura until you
have. Right. In other words, again, I think it's a variation of the same point, David. In other words, the chazaka that is low badak is not in and of itself an Easter, right? It's not correct. There's no Easter right now. Again, it's something akin to the Rachlos Vitos and the Ramban on Hetera Bala or Isura Bala. Even asserting that something is chametz is not an Easter. Now the Ramban says that it's still Isur Abala. In other words, again, we're getting so far flung here. But the question really is there a halos chametz? Halos is the technical term that we use for a halachic status. Is chametz an actual halachic status outside of the holiday of Pesach? Right? In other words, there are lots of different foodstuffs that don't have halachic status. Chametz is clearly an important halachic status on Pesach. Is it a halachic status the rest of the year? The Ramban brings a clear raya that it is from the Mikdash, where you're not allowed to have chametz. And Tosfos would presumably say that the rules governing chametz in the Mikdash and the rules governing chametz for all of us, but I want to say no harabim, are different rules. So again, that's a pretty rich machlokas in its own right, but that's, I think that would be relevant, Ari, to your assertion that there would be a chazak yisur here. Yeah, Zach.
I might be reading into it, but in the Ramah, when he says, Aval Bishu Pasol Lashar Atheos, is he saying that this is a form of Atheos? Because even though he's
possible
for other types of
AIDS. Okay, again, fair deal. It's a fair deal. And again, that would obviously go against the broader point that he's raising that Psula Eidos are Ksherim here. It's fair. You could read it. Again, you could read that line in two ways. In other words, either it's exactly your idea, which is that, oh, it's clearly a form of Eidos, and those are Sh'ar Eidos. Or he's using this to distinguish, right, this from true Eidos. I wouldn't say that Diok is a... seals a deal in and of itself, but it's certainly a noteworthy lush. There are other areas where it is significant. I'll mention it now because I wanted to get into this, but I don't think we will. Another interesting example is the question of whether Nida is an erva. Okay. And why do I say our discussion touches on that? Because Tosfos said the whole source for Inachanem Bisurin is Vesafrala by Nida. Is Nida an erva or is it not? Maybe we'll document this quickly. But it's Mahu's being Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. Every time the Rambam discusses Nida abides by some of the rules of the Arayos and is very different from other rules of Arayos. Let's just give one basic example, right? If one has a child with an erva, one has a child with an Eish HaSeish, the child is a Mamzer. One is Boel Nida and there's a child, is the child a Mamzer? No, that would be a very big problem for Balei Tshuva, right? That would be a very big problem. So there's no such thing. So is Nida an erva or is it not? So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it's not. Rambam, every time he talks about Nida, he says, oh, this is different. But he says, Afal Pi Shehu Erva, it's different in this way. Like similar to your diok here, right? It's different from Sha'ar Adios in this way. So it's not a bad diok. It's a good diok. But again, I wouldn't hinge my understanding of Shittas Rambam just on that diok alone. It's something that in addition to broader analysis, I think could be significant. Let's just close with this. Turn to section. All right, we'll skip section 3. Let's turn to section 4, and I'll see how much we can cover next week. But what is the source for this whole principle of Eidach Anem and Bisur? Where does it all come from, right? So we saw Tosfos. We started touching on Tosfos that says it's from Vesafrala at Nida. We referenced it several times tonight as well. But is that the only source for it? Rashi in Yivamos, at Pechas Amar Aleph, source number 10, offers a very strange source for Eidach Anem and Bisur. He says, Dibur Maskel, Amar Barli Deshuman Hu Demehem. Somebody tells you that they are certain that something is kosher fat, they are believed. And Rashi comments, V'havadai Pshitolon Desamchinon Alei. It is obvious that we rely on him. In any instance where there's no reason to suspect that he's not telling the truth, he's not. If he's the person selling this to you, then he has an incentive to lie. But if there's no incentive to lie, it's pshita, it's obvious, Rashi says, that we rely on him. Why? To ilav hachi, because if not, ein l'cha adam ochel mishach avera. Then a person would never be able to eat anything in his friend's house. He'd never be able to go out for Shabbos. And worse, v'chein l'cha adam somech al b'nei bezo. Your kids prepare a meal. Your wife prepares a meal. You prepare a meal for them. Nobody would ever be able to rely on each other as far as kashrus is concerned if you didn't have this principle of Eidach Anem and Bisurin. What is Rashi saying? What is the source for Eidach Anem and Bisurin? What is he essentially saying? It's Svara. Whenever somebody says Pshita, it's obvious. He's saying it's a Svara. Rashi's saying, I don't have a pasuk for you. I don't have a source text for you. But it's evident to me that there must be Eidach Anem and Bisurim, because otherwise our whole system would fall apart. Our whole society would fall apart. Clearly, Eidach Anem and Bisurim. Tosfos Rishonim don't like this in source number 11. We'll just read the bold for a second. Tema, Tosfos asks, it's a wonder. Who cares? He's Abraham Yochal. So Tosfos Rishonim are super brisker here. And they say you can't rely on what anyone else tries to feed you. You can't rely on your wife. You can't rely on your kids. Can't rely on your parents. Can't rely on your best friend. You need to prepare it for yourself. And if you don't see it prepared, if you don't have two witnesses ready to testify as to its kashrus, maybe taka, it wouldn't be kosher. Who says that that's the case? But Rashi seems to find that that svara is compelling. If you look in source number 12, Rashi's view is a little more nuanced there. He throws in a couple of psukim with the svara. And we also know that Tosfos provided us a pasuk. Once again, Tosfos provided us the pasuk of Misafra Allah. Now, if Rashi is saying that it's pshita, that it's misvara, would that mean that he has the status of Eidos? To me, it's unlikely. It's unlikely. You can't prove that somebody is a formal Eid, that they have the status of witness, just on the basis of a svara. In other words, Rashi is giving me a minimalist source for the ne'emanos of an Eid Echad. He says he must be believed in some capacity, because otherwise, we wouldn't really be able to function. But does that mean he attains the higher level status of an actual aid? I don't think so. It's much more likely, according to Rashi, that we're operating within the avenue of ne'emanus rather than formal aidos. Once you introduce a pasuk as the source for his ne'emanus, then it's quite conceivable, you don't have to say this, but it's quite conceivable that we're dealing with formal aidos as well. So this entire broad conceptual question of which avenue the Eid Echad is operating in, whether it's ne'emanus or aidos, perhaps comes back to this broader question of what the source is and how we know Eid Echad Ne'emah Bisurim in the first place. So in the end, we do have this question of Eid Echad Ne'emah Bisurim, Eidos and Ne'emanos, and we have several nafkaminas. Would the regular rules of Eidos apply in terms of Hazama, in terms of Eidim Zomim, in terms of Eid Mipi Eid, in terms of Kivan Shehegan Shovin Echozur Magen? What about Psule Eidos? Do Psule Eidos qualify for Eid Echad Ne'emah Bisurim, or do they not? They only qualify for Biyado, but they don't qualify for Eid Echad Ne'emah Bisurim. What is the source for Eid Echad Ne'emah Bisurim? And does the source perhaps speak to the broader conceptual principle by which it operates? Those all come down to that central question of Eid Echad Ne'emah Bisurim. And Be'ezus Hashem, next week, we'll further break down this analysis and see some other possibilities as to how exactly this principle may operate. I did. I was in the Shiva house.
You know, when you eat... Touch it. Rabbi, when you eat what your wife made,